One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard, and I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Konami's Castlevania IV for the Super NES finds the evil Count Dracula back to terrorize the Belmont family yet again. Armed with a whip, a quick mind, and even quicker reflexes, you must battle boss characters and evil enemies through a myriad of the most complex stages ever created. Select your stage and let the adventure begin.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Play Retro. Or maybe here for the first time. I don't know. But welcome back. I'm your host, Scott Johnson, and I think Alucard might be Dracula backwards.
And I am your other host. Wait, Alucard is Dracula backwards? And I am your other host, Brian Dunaway, and I'm just a miserable little pile of secrets. Oh, man. Now you know my secrets.
Yep. I got a map, and it'll tell me where I've been and where I'm going.
You just used a taco cat.
Yeah.
Dracula spelt backwards.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Hey, if you got any of those hints, you might think we're talking about Castlevania today, and we are, because that means, you know, we got to finish out. The Metroidvania is not complete until you put the Vania in there.
Right.
So that's what we're doing
otherwise
this week.
Otherwise, it's just Metro, and that's just not what we do here on the show.
Well, Metroid, but yeah, it'd be just Metroid.
If you're doing Metroidvania, because then it would just be Metro.
Yeah, but no one plays that. Anything. That's not a thing. Metroidvania is the way the actual way you say it.
It's Metroidvania?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it's Metrovania.
Nope. Metroidvania, my good friend. Metroidvania.
You're typing it.
I want to make sure I'm not crazy.
I'm going to make sure I'm doing this right. Yes, you're right.
It is Metroidvania. Metro, I like Metro, though. Let's see if we can get that happen.
Why not? You know, that's how they came up with Metroid. It was Metro and Subterranea. What was it? No, there was
Hemorrhoids.
What was the roid part?
It was hemorrhoids.
Oh, the android. It was android.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah, it was a underground android. It was what it was.
Well, today we tag on the last part of that happy little genre, and boy, is there a lot of Metroid Castlevania games. A lot of them.
Both.
Holy moly. Yeah, way more of these, though. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, just exactly, because last week we was all bragging about, we made it through Metroid. We got this. It's no problem. And then I got smacked right in the face with Castlevania. Then I started flip-flopping around going, okay, we're going to have to narrow this down. So we're going to have to make some parameters here. We're going to have to say from Castlevania 1 up to the Game Boy Advance trilogy, and we're going to have to drop a bunch of stuff that didn't release worldwide, like Rondo of Blood.
Yep.
Blood Rondo.
That game was that game's actually re-released or is available on the PSP, or was under the name Castlevania, not
Vania
Dracula X. Castlevania X, because there's Dracula X and then Castlevania. It's confusing.
Oh, you're right. I think you're right. I think it's Castlevania. No, that's not right.
No, because Dracula X is a whole other combo thing on something else. That's the whole point of us bringing this up and why it's so confusing is because our focus is going to be fairly discrete. We're going to focus on the 2D beginnings of this thing, and we're going to stop right around Symphony of the Night in terms of, you know, overall what we're going to talk about. Now, the games certainly went on. There have been many more. Some GBA games. I'll talk about those today as well. I think those certainly count. But we're not going to get into the new stuff from 2014. I say new. They haven't made a new game in 7 years, 8 years.
Right.
Which is weird because from 2000 and let's see when it, I always hit this math wrong. 89 to 2009, that's a 20-year period.
Right.
Those years there, they had almost a game every year. There were only 6 years where they didn't publish a Castlevania game somewhere in, in the world. And for some reason, after these new ones that came out in 2013, 14, I forget the name of them now, something Castlevania Bloodline, not Bloodlines. What's it called? Castlevania 3D. We're trying to go third person. Look, we're God of War. Those. Okay. Those games. I remember they were cheesed at the time because they were kind of God of War like and they were trying to, you know. Yeah. Oh, Lords of Shadow.
Lords of Shadow. Yeah, there you go.
That's it. Lords of Shadow. They haven't made a single game since then. How do you go 7-8 years, Konami, and not have a new Castlevania game? And the answer might just be too many pachinko machines. That might be it.
It could be that they're you know, that's suffering right now in Japan. So maybe there'll be a revisit. But, you know, they've made some Konami money off releasing these special editions. Like I bought the Game Boy Advance trilogy on the Steam not that long ago for like $20, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not bad for redoing a couple of things, had some, you know, has some art in it they put in there. They got their music. It's just all assets they already had. Yeah. And I think we're going to talk a lot about how Konami has handled Castlevania through the years and how it feels to me like a lot of stuff is reused, and that's fine. It's not a secret. But I feel like it's created all these interesting stews, game stews, if you will.
Yeah, I agree.
That have come along.
I agree, and it's kind of an interesting opportunity to talk about Castlevania in a year when Elden Ring is all the rage. And the reason I think that's interesting is you will be surprised how much connective tissue there is between something like Elden Ring and Souls-likes in general and Castlevania as a series. There's a lot of stuff in common. And someone in the chat just asked, Taz the Man says, I would play the crap out of a Castlevania game modeled after Elden Ring. I have some good news for you. Because there is a 2D Castlevania-like that I am playing right now that's hard as hell, very Souls-like in lots of ways, and rad. Okay? So stick around, because we're going to talk about all
that
other stuff.
You're going to tease us? You're not even going to tell us now?
We're not even in this show. Yeah, we got other stuff to do. Like this, for example. Listener of the show and longtime friend of the network, Alan Wace, sent me, we picked him up because he's local, two Genesises. Genesi?
Genocide. That's genocide. You got two? Which models do you have? One, two, or three?
These are the two models. Well, a good question about one being maybe possibly model two, because, you know, one and two look the same pretty much.
I thought one was with the red circle around the top, and then the Model 2 was kind of the little slimmer, more compact, and then I think 3 looked similar to the 2, remember correctly.
Okay, if it's not, then it's not the 2. It's definitely two Model 1s, because it's the old school one where the cartridge is off-center, and you get like a little volume key thing over there or whatever, brightness, whatever that thing was for. I don't remember now what that's for.
You have two of those types. One, I believe, has an HD possibility potential, and that's the one you're going to really be excited about. And the other one, I think, doesn't have the HD possibility, which I think is S-Video in this case. Yeah. When I say HD, I'm talking relative to the generation that it was out.
Yeah. Better quality video, probably. I don't know, because I haven't plugged them in yet, but I've got them. He sent me a stack of games, Turrican's in there. That's pretty cool. And that was really nice of him. He donated those. So now I just got to get a hold of a bunch of games. So if anyone is out there who's just sitting on a bunch of old Genesis cartridges and they're just gathering dust, you need to get rid of them. Just give me a buzz, will you? You know, just
hey, man, have you played? Okay, so you got these Sega Genesis. So did you get everything? Did you get the cables? Did you get power? Okay, cool. You got two power bricks?
Yeah, all of it. It's all there.
Okay, and you got cables. Do you know if they're – are they all – just the yellow and white connectors, the RX.
I don't know, but I can tell you. I can tell you one of them has a busted pin for something, and I think it might be a controller pin. I'm not sure. So we're going to fiddle with that.
A bent pin will happen from time to time.
Yeah.
in the front. That's, yeah, that, that'll happen.
I think it actually snapped at some point. Probably bent and then snapped. That's my thinking.
Right. But, bent, then snapped. Yeah. Wow. So I have a Model 1 and a Model 2. No one gave that to me. I had to, go pry that from the cold, dead hands of people doing yard sales.
Oh, good. Nothing wrong with that. Wait, you found it at
nothing
a yard
wrong with
sale.
That. The Model no, I'm 2? Kidding. One of them was actually sent to me. But I did get the other one from a yard sale.
Oh, okay. That's good. No, it's a lucky shot to get something like that at a yard sale. I never find any old game stuff at yard sales anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. This was I picked this up like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. So this is before the retro popularity, you know, with COVID and everybody going, these times suck.
Yeah,
you know what we need to do? Travel back in time or cook bread.
Or make bread. Travel back in time. You want to make some bread? Guess what? Yeah. Make it. You can make it.
There's two types of people in this world. Retro gamers and bread bakers.
Bread makers. Sometimes they're the same, though. My daughter loves retro gaming, and she makes bread. So there
okay.
you go.
Yeah. She's a omnidirectional.
She's an eight-way D-pad.
Oh, she's an eight-way D-pad. That's a good point. Back to Castlevania.
Sounds rude, doesn't it sound rude?
Yeah, it does. Sounds rude. No, it sounds good. Eight-way.
I'm not going to call her that to her face. I'm not going to go, hey, Carter, you're an eight-way D-pad. It sounds like I'm giving her some kind of crap. I don't know.
I'm so glad you got that. Do you have this?
Nope, I don't have Wolverine. I have it on. I have that thing. I owned that game back in the day. I don't have it anymore. And I have it on some emulation somewhere.
That's the real deal, my friend. That's the real card. It's not in there right now. It's plugged in.
Is it good, though, is the question. Is it good?
It's hard. How about that?
Okay. Something's hard. You got to do what you got to do.
It's a claim.
It's hard. I don't know what that means. Hey, check this out real quick. Because of all that Metroid stuff last week, I've had a real...
Great.
This show is a problem. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be playing Elden Ring with the rest of the world, or I'm supposed to be beating Forbidden West. I was able to dip my toes into all of that here and there, or checking out the latest releases on freaking Game Pass or something, right? But instead, because this game is so in my head all week, or the show rather, all I did this last week was play Metroid games and Metroid-like games. I'm still playing Axiom Verge, completely hooked on that thing. It's great. I'm going to beat it. It's great. What a great thing that game is. And I've got my eye on Axiom Verge 2 when I finished that. And this week, same problem. Playing all of these old Castlevania games, and now I've got about 10 games that are based on Castlevania that are newer that I want to just dive into. And everything else is just sort of getting past me. And it's probably not good, right? Is that good? I don't know if that's good.
So how are we gonna move forward with this show if in 20 years from now we're still alive and we can't look back and go, what was retro then?
Because
I'm not going to have any experience for it because I wanted to play Tunic all week. That just finally dropped. We talked about that for almost a year and a half on the other show we did.
Yeah, and it came out. They announced it in 2015. That thing's been forever since they announced it.
It's been forever, but it's finally released. It's out. It's out in the wild. It's ready to go. And I'm seeing people post on it. And all I can do is go, I can't right now. I'm retroing.
I'm playing that Kirby game next week, though. I promise you that.
Oh, we got to play the Kirby game.
There ain't no stopping me there. I will be playing that damn Kirby game and playing it hard. All bets are off when Kirby comes out. In the meantime, you ended up getting a Retron 5, rather, for your birthday. Tell me about this thing.
Right. My birthday was this past week, and I got the Retron 5. My family was nice enough to look at my Amazon wish list and say, hey, Brian has something on here. And I'm like, that was just for me to remember stuff. That wasn't for you to go and purchase, but you did, and I thank you for it. Because now, if you're not familiar with the Retron 5, it's a Hyperkin, I believe, is the name of the manufacturer. Anyway... it allows me to play my original carts for the NES, SNES, the Famicom system, which I don't have any of, GBA, and Genesis, which I do have some Genesis carts, and I can throw that in there. This thing's kind of a neat trick, but let's say the bad parts first. This controller, it sucks. Castlevania butt.
Ew, I don't like it.
I don't like it either, man. I am a controller snob, and I guess it gets the job done because
it's interesting that it's analog. Why not a D-pad? That's weird.
It's emulating things like NES, SNES, Famicom, but so that's a minor complaint because it doesn't really matter because really all I used that thing was so I could set up my my SN30, which is my SNES controller from 8-bit Do.
Sure.
And I can plug, it's got ports for all of these devices. Got one for my Sega Genesis. Yeah. I don't know what I'm gonna do about the Game Boy Advance. I don't guess it really matters. I guess I probably can just
use that.
But anyway, I did that for just half a second. I plugged these wireless 8-bit Do controllers in there. It works like a charm. Let me tell you something, Scott.
Yeah.
I have maybe 20, 25 NES carts.
Yeah.
And I had to clean every one of those things, man. And it was more cleaning than just going. It wasn't that kind of cleaning. I had to take out some cleaner and clean it. And I did not do any research. And I'm a grown man knowing good and well that I need to take care of my old man carts. And I just went and said, how about a Q-tip and some alcohol? I don't know if I've just made the worst blunder. I'm sure someone out there in Retroland is going to go, Brian, you don't ever clean it with the alcohol in the swabs.
Somebody in
that
the chat.
That is a guaranteed way.
Someone in the chat should know this. Like, is it just regular isopropyl, how do you say it? Whatever it is.
Isopropyl.
Whatever it is.
Isopropyl.
The normal stuff.
Isoprophylactic.
That's the alcohol. One with the rubber in it.
Yeah.
Alcohol should be okay, says Bumbats. I don't know, man. That's
I'm assuming they hire the alcohol. Is there like a level? I think I use 70% alcohol because it's really hard to get the higher percentages now that we've had COVID.
You should have washed it out. Washed it out with some, like, you know, rum or whiskey or something. Just a little bit of like vodka in there. That would do it. Those are high alcohol.
That would absolutely
content.
Do it. Yeah. But anyway, I did load them up. Most of my carts loaded. A few of them gave me a little bit of trouble. The slots for these things are a little bit tight, but I kind of already knew that. So you got to be kind of careful with these. If you have a precious, precious game that, you know, is in mint and you don't want to mess it up, you might not want to stick it in this thing. Because really all it is just a software emulator. I mean, it is capable of reading the carts. It downloads those ROMs into its local memory, from what I understand. And then it plays it through an emulation, and it, you know, it kicks out to HDMI.
I can't picture it in my head. Did the SNES, the Super Nintendo had, it did it have just a rear slot for like straight up slot like the Genesis does, or did you have to put it into like a drawer like the way the NES was, the cartridge?
Oh no, you're talking about the Super NES?
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's one on the top, right? It was just a top loader.
One?
No door or nothing, right? It had two purple buttons on the front.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Yep. I had to look at it to remind myself because I couldn't remember. I used to think the drawer idea the NES uses just used to bug me because I used to think, well, that's going to get jammed. It's going to get stuck. That's stupid.
We all hated the front-loading VCR, NES. It was always a problem. It was always somebody sticking something in there it shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. That freaking frame was getting bent half the time. It was always a problem. They wanted it, when they released it, from my understanding, they wanted it to, you know, it's an entertainment system. They didn't want it to be a game system. It was, but they wanted us to think that it was like a VCR here in America. So, I think it caused design problems.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty dumb, but I didn't fall for it.
Right, right. I didn't fall for it. I'm not stupid, but the SNES, high just quality machine, in my opinion, just does the job. Those big purple buttons that slide, it's just perfect.
Yeah, it's a good way to go and a tasty way to do it. All right.
Yeah.
More on that Retron 5 as time goes on, but I assume it's like an emulation engine in there that is just reading cartridges, right?
That's all it's doing. Yes. Like okay. I said, it's loading those ROM, it's reading a ROM is from the cart itself, which is something I wanted to do. If you're looking for a way to feel fuzzy about yourself, to, you know, to go, oh, I'm doing it right. I'm just doing, you know, I got the actual cart here. I'm doing everything right. You might feel that there's a little bit of it's software, so it's not going to be perfect. It's software emulation. And not every cart has read, and some of the carts have had to take out and reinsert. But the big thing I'm interested in doing is I want to mod this thing because I can get, there's some firmware out there that you can put on this thing that it turns this into a ROM reader. So a ROM dumper is what I'm looking
for.
Oh,
that's cool.
I want a ROM dump, baby. I want to dump my own ROMs.
Yeah, dump some ROMs.
What's really the
ROMs.
Advantage of dumping my own ROMs? Probably nothing because probably the exact same ROM is already out there. It just makes me feel. I don't know. It gives me the fuzzies. Well, it gives me the fuzzies to feel that I ripped my own ROM.
Yeah, there's something cool about that. I like that. I like the idea of
it's like, this is my ROM. I ripped it.
Yeah. And you're also guaranteed there's no weird cheats in it or any kind of funky code or whatever.
Right.
Just, worked.
But I mean, you know, there's ways they try to protect that. There's hashes you can compare to and all this good stuff. But I ain't got time for that. I just want to plug my cart in.
How come the GBA, how does the GBA work in that thing with such a big giant cart holes in that thing? It just seems so big.
That's what I said, because I saw it and I'm like, I said, it's called the Retron 5, but I'm only seeing 1, 2, 3, 4 slots. And I'm like, something's not right here. And then I noticed in the front, which I thought was, there you go. See where that thumb, that guy's thumb is?
Yeah.
That's actually that's the GBA slot.
Oh.
And so okay. I thought it was like a memory card slot. I'm like, what memory card is this? That's a big memory card. And I'm like, wait a minute. None of these systems would have had memory cards like that. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's the GBA port. But see the little side?
Let me understand though, because you got in the front and the rear look like Genesis slots. The two in the middle look like SNES slots. Am I wrong about that?
And the front, Genesis in the back, then you got your SNES right below that, and then NES. And then the front is the Famicom
carts. Okay. All right. Which you probably don't have any of those, right?
I don't have any of those, so that's a bummer. But you'll notice on the side, you see three ports for the controllers, and there's also on the other side are three more ports, so you can do two-player, so that's good. I don't know if you can do a multi-tap or anything like this, but I haven't ever gotten that far. This mullet, like I said, it's just fun. I'm glad I got to play with it and learn something.
Sure. Yeah, nothing wrong with this. This is cool. All right. Well, there you go, folks. A mini sort of review or look at the Retron 5.
More coming soon. Yeah. And for the Patreon supporters, I've got videos coming. I've recorded a couple of things, and I'm going to be sending them out.
Oh, you did you? Let's get those videos out there, baby. All right. Excellent news, everybody. It's time for us to dive into our topic this week. Let the Castlevania roll.
Shall we play a game?
Yes, indeed we shall. The game we'll play is the Castlevania series, starting out on the Nintendo Entertainment System. Release date of...
It's according to what you're talking about. The Japanese release date for the Famicom system for the NES was the year prior. So then...
Why don't I have this here? I swear I have this. I thought I wrote the years down next to my videos, but I didn't do it.
I'm pretty sure it was 1986.
There it is, 86. America, you are correct. North America, 86. I played this game as I'd have been a sophomore. I think that's right. In high school.
In life,
a little bit of life. I really thought this game was amazing at the time. I remember thinking, oh, man, you mean it's not just plumbers and bullshit? This machine can do, like... a serious, like, wicked, cool, dark fantasy kind of thing, you know? Like, this just seemed unheard of at the time, and it was. It was kind of, that's the reason, I guess, it had its impact.
That was this niche, right?
The original game was much more like a scrolling adventure, though. It didn't have the RPG elements. It didn't have the crazy labyrinth backtracking stuff that the series would become known for. And at the same time, Metroid doing similar things. It was just more like... boss fights, kill stuff, make progress, move through the level, get to the end. Why is that guy
collect some hearts, and hearts don't work like you think they do either, because it's like the first game where I'm like, I'll get really confused about the hearts. I'm like,
hearts can bite me in this series, because even then I remember being confused. I'm like, oh, sweet, I got a heart, I won't die. And I'm like, that didn't help my health. This is just for
for
points. This is like a collectible during the damn level.
Yeah,
which is
it's for your sub weapons, right? That's how it plays this first time, because they've used them. Because like I said, they've reused the assets and the ideas as they've gone through. And I think in the first one, you did that so that you could use your sub weapons,
right?
Other weapons other than your whip, Indiana whip.
Yeah, your main whip. Your whip is your main unit.
Whip.
Everyone loves their whip. I love the whip. Right. Big fan of the whip.
I love the whip a lot.
Yeah.
And no, I don't like it, actually. I'll take that back. I don't like the whip in this one. I like it because I hadn't seen a whip before, really, in a game. And that was cool, but only being able to do it from left to right, because it's just, you know, two directions. It's like...
Yeah, there's no up or down on this one. That would change soon enough. Like, even Simon's Quest 2 that came out for the NES, when that got remade for the Super Nintendo as Castlevania 4, which is weird when they do these things, these remakes and then call it a number, it's so weird. But anyway, that game, they added 8-way D-pad support to your whip and your weapons, and so you were no longer restricted to left-right in that game, which really opened things up.
Or left-right.
Yeah. There's always a secondary weapon that you can pick up, and even in the first game. And that
and there was plenty of them to choose from. There were six stages in the original Castlevania, and you would work your way through. There's a boss at the end of each stage. So it had a pretty good, it was a really good mix of some of the things we had seen from other games, but now brought in this, you know, this darker world. And which is a really, okay, so this is 86 in America, and you know, about the same time in Japan, and the creator, the director who did this, he was really big into movies, especially like you know, the old Universal monsters and the Hammer films. And so all the creatures in this, for the most part, are taken from that world, right? You got the Universal monsters coming along, and it's a weird, unique take.
It's a weird take. I mean, the fact that they make Dracula kind of the big bad.
Five Medusa heads.
That part actually always used to bug me.
Everybody hates the flying Medusa heads because
no one likes
such
those.
And they're in all these
games. I hate it.
Right. They fly in this sine wave, right? They fly in. And they just so annoying because they come at a fast enough speed, because this, you know, you only can walk so fast here. It's pretty slow moving here, this Belmont.
They have always been like that. Even the newer ones, you have a slide move and some other things like that for a little more mobility. But for the most part, you're just walking.
That your pockets must be heavy with secondary weapons and whips.
Yeah.
Because you're always walking slow. And those Medusa heads, they're coming at a certain pattern. And the thing that I love hate about Castlevania is the knockback, because nothing pisses me off more than timing something. You think you got the timing down. You're like, okay, I got it this time. You're like, okay, last time the Medusa knocked me off, I fell down the pit and I died right away and whatever. But you know, after a while you're like, okay, I'm getting pretty good at this. And then you'd actually hit it just wrong and it knock you back. And of course, every time you get knocked back, you fall into something else. And then you never just get hit one time. Never just take one damage.
No.
You take like three or four damage every time.
Oh, so it's huge. It's huge. Your life bar,
you can't do anything about it.
Your life bar is longer, so you know, there's that. But you're right. For the most part, it's a kind of a gigantic pain. I mean, it's part of what made the game what the game is, and so, you know, this is not me complaining, but I think the original game, looking back on it and having played it this week,
Medusa boss,
it needed some refinement.
Yeah,
here's some sound, by the way. Check this out. Remember this sound? Oh, yes. Konami. Konami with your logo and everything, and you're not making games anymore.
Your Konami bacon, as they called it this week when I was streaming. Yeah.
Here's some sound from, I lost it. Where'd it go? Oh, that's no good. The original, I had sound. All right. Well, for some reason, my sound file's missing from the original game.
Oh, no.
I don't know why.
But that's okay. Well, I'll describe it.
I'll play Bloodlines. Here. This is all right.
It's like that.
Yeah, it's like this.
But it's a lot older.
Older and more plinky, you know. Of course, Bloodlines, the Genesis game, which was a quality product. I like the Genesis game quite a bit.
That's actually a surprising. That is only more recently been true. A lot of people historically have been not that excited about the Bloodlines, but I think people are coming around on it.
You know why? I'll tell you why. I can tell you exactly why. Because at the time, we were having a Nintendo Sega problem. Everybody wanted to rip on Sega or Nintendo, whichever was your camp. And Nintendo had kind of a lock on a lot of Konami products, including multiple Castlevanias per system. And the Genesis came along, and Konami's like, well, we don't want to let that money stay on the table. We may as well make one for it. And so they made one. They made precisely one. So I think at the time, people saw that as like, oh, okay, so you finally got your Castlevania Genesis players. Go and suck a duck and get out of here, right? And I think that happened. Now we look back and we go, you know what? That's actually a quality game. Played all right.
Yeah. It's not bad. And they were actually, they made or started making a 32X Castlevania, but it never made it.
You know why?
Because that's when Sega started sucking it.
Because that 32X was not long for the world. As much as I thought it was cool, it was a weird add-on that didn't actually do that much more than most Sega games were already doing.
Right.
And that was problematic. But I could see them, you know, pausing development on that. The thing
used it later, but yeah, not Sega, but yeah, they still. Whew.
What's weird is the years on this thing. So they're all set at different times, these games.
Right.
Aria of Sorrow, which is my favorite Castlevania.
Out of all of them? Oh, yeah. You get the ones we talked about
today. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. All of them. I like it better than Symphony of the Night, which is amazing, but I like it better than that. Although, listen, Aria of Sorrow wouldn't exist without Symphony of the Night because a lot of those mechanics came from there. Anyway, the point is, what was my point? My point was that the games, what was I saying?
Shit. I can't remember now. I got distracted by that change in music that happened in the background.
It messed me up too. I can't remember what I was going
to
say.
Who's playing? Who's about to play five player? No, that's not what I'm thinking.
They mean five lives. That's how.
That's always confused me too. Because the live system on this, so you got hearts and you're thinking, oh, that's health, and it's like no. Sometimes it's mana, and sometimes it's currency. Like in Simon's Quest. Mm-hmm. And so it's always confusing. But the player thing always confused me too, because I was like, wait a minute, does that mean player two's playing now? Mm-hmm. Are we like taking turns? And I'm like, is that what it was said in the the original Japanese version? Is the Konami North America, are they messing with this?
Yeah, what are they doing, those dark bastards?
Oh, this is Bloodlines right here playing, isn't it?
I like Bloodlines a lot.
Yeah, this is the only time you can play. So this is one of the things I loved about Bloodlines. You get to play as this character. You're not playing as a Belmonte in this one.
There's two characters you get to choose at the beginning, which made it kind of unique at the time. But you choose a whip guy who's not a Belmont and this guy who is also not a Belmont. Oh, I know what I was going to say. This game's set in like 1917.
Oh, yes.
Aria of Sorrow set in the year 2035.
So there's been some regrets at the timeline and announcing the timeline, and there's been some plus that the fact anytime you talk about Castlevania, you have to kind of separate the story from the game release dates, because they jump all over the place, and some of them aren't even some are not even canon anymore, so they kind of remove some of them in later years. So I learned so much about Castlevania this past week, and I'll try not to bore you to death with the details of some of this stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot in here. There's a lot.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff. So that's right. So what year is it? Does it even matter? I finally determined, after all my discussion with myself, trying to figure out, learning all the names and the dates, trying to figure all that out. I was like, you know what? The story is so thin. Mm-hmm. It's fine that it's thin, because it's really the gameplay. And it's this unique way of mixing in these assets and elements that each team that's tackled this approached it. Mm-hmm. And it's always about compelling gameplay.
Yeah, for sure. And they some of these games are on, most lists of greatest video games of all time. Symphony of the Night is absolutely on that list. Aria of Sorrow should be.
That's all changing. You say that, but it is changing every day. I mean, if I went back and read articles from 10 years ago, totally different opinions on the greatest at that time compared to now, mm-hmm. because we're changing, we're evolving in how we look at these games.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and especially as people, really start to dive into retro stuff like we are on the show and others are doing personally, I think you're just forced to reckon with what actually came out and do it through eyes that are fresh and not have whatever judgments were made at the time about these games. Hence why I think Bloodlines deserves some love. And when I look up, if you look up any kind of list of what are the top 10 Castlevania games, Bloodlines on every list. Everyone loves it.
Yeah, yeah. It's in there eventually. It's making a move up. And I think one of the things I love about it is there are two players. You don't get to really choose a difficulty level in this, but if you choose the guy with the spear, what's it really called? It's not called a spear. It's something like a spear. Anyway, he's like a pikeman, right?
It's a trident, isn't it?
It's a trident, right. Yeah. It's electrical trident right now. Yeah. He's kind of OP. And I like how easily I can dispatch with the bats and everything else with that thing. So if I'm wanting a chill experience, that's the guy I go with.
Yeah, to see
if
what he just did, he just rammed that up the ass of those skeletons.
Yeah.
And you can't do that with a whip. Did it. Not as easy anyway.
No, though, exactly. And I like that. Yeah. I got enough going on. I got enough walking up and down stairs and enemies respawning. I don't need that.
Yeah, I agree. So
did you see that just now? I didn't even know you could do that.
You can. Listen, this guy knows what's up.
You can vault yourself. I didn't even know you could vault like that.
Oh, hell yeah. You got to go play Bloodlines again. Bloodlines is cool.
I'm going to play it again.
It also had that kind of weird energy that Sega games have, which was like kind of weirdly badass and you know, yeah. like, we don't care. Blast processing. Let's go.
Right. They were still using at this time, they were still using the old. We haven't made our symphony like change.
No. Not there yet.
We haven't went serious yet. We're still working with our, you know, our old school monsters, you know, mm-hmm. our skeletons and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And but they make them. They made them radical, right? Because like the mermaid or the fish man, the fish mm-hmm. man in previous versions of it was kind of wimpy. In this one, they're like bigger than your character. They got big giant
huge fins
going on.
They're too big.
They're very they're radical, right?
Yeah, they're too big. I don't like them that big. I want to talk about Simon's Quest for a second, which was technically two. All right.
Yes.
Two came out right. on the NES and that era of 8-bit consoles. It was a huge change because the game, this was the game where they said, well, what if there were some light RPG elements? What if there were some backtracking things? What if some of these things that would be known or become known as Metroidvanias, what if we included some of those things? And it was very experimental at the time, and people were split. They were like, I just want my side-scrolling adventure, and others were like, no, this is the future. Turns out it was the future, but it's weird because they kind of backtracked. They did two, Simon's Quest.
They did the castle, right.
And then did three, which took it back to basic side-scrolling adventure, and they took out all those things again. And everybody's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? And then four comes along, and four is just a remake of Simon's Quest that looked better on a SNES.
Yeah.
And I think the consensus is the right thing to do was to retire just the basic, you know, side scrolling. Basically, it's just Mario with a whip, and let's go deeper. Let's have more to it.
I never played Simon's Quest back in the day. I played the first Castlevania a pretty good bit. And then I skipped a few, one, two, skip a few. And I knew that Simon's Quest was the big one. I'd seen Captain N. I knew that Simon was on there. I knew that, you know, he was something, right? He was you know, important to the story. And I played the first Castlevania on the NES, and then I went and I played Simon's Quest, and I'll tell you, it was very jarring to go from the first one, you know, to that adventure to this thing, even visually, because it was so busy and crowded, and there were day and night cycles, and you know, and suddenly I wasn't collecting hearts to power my sub weapons. I was using them to negotiate with the town folk when they weren't turned into beast and walking at night.
Sure.
And it was a totally different thing. And at first I didn't like it. I'm like, I don't like this flavor. I just got through eating, you know, I just got through, I don't know, drinking
booze,
tea.
Oh, tea.
Yeah, I was drinking like something flat, and then I suddenly was drinking something fizzy, and I'm like, no, I don't like this. It's just too busy. I don't like none of these mechanics, and I kept playing, and it I was like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
So I had like a little microchasm of a week's long worth of compressed gameplay that I got to feel that emotion that people got to feel probably back in, I guess, what was it, 88 when that came out?
And they felt it over time, and it was, you know, more drawn out. You're doing it in a week, so it's a little bit weird.
Right. And then I got into three, and I was like, oh, good. So they went back, but then they had branching paths.
Yeah, Tondragos in the chat is right about that. The branching path thing was definitely new to three. Not new, but they carried that over from two. And I think they were just trying to hone it. This happened with Final Fantasy, which one day we'll do a massive show on that. But Final Fantasy had the same kind of thing. It's like, all right, we're going to introduce some new experimental mechanics. Some work, some don't. So the next iteration of the game, we'll maybe carry some of those ones that worked over, and we'll throw in some new ones, but we'll backtrack a little. It'll be a little bit more like the one before it. And that was sometimes a mixed bag or you know, mixed reviews. So I think they were a lot like that. They were just like, you know, I don't know. What do you think? What worked last time? Well, we got a lot of complaints about a thing that turns out, you know, I would argue the stuff they took out was a mistake. They should have kept that going. And then four would have been better if it was just a straight up new game. But the fact that it was a remake and had, you know, those mechanics thrown in, and you could whip high and low and do all that, it made it a much, much better game, I think.
Yeah. Now, Akamatsu, the director who this is attributed to, who disappeared, from the face of the earth. If you want to do some interesting reading about him.
He's still gone, right? No one knows where he ended up.
He disappeared during the 90s. Now, he only worked his way to three, and two and three were not financially successful. And so they kind of they demoted him. And so after a short time, he's like, I'm out. And he did a couple other little small things. And so there's some interviews with people who used to work with him. So we got a little information about him, but he just kind of disappeared. So that's part of the Konami thing. They weren't really embracing their developers, or they were at least trying to hide them from, people from trying to poach them from other companies. So even in the first Castlevania, when you see the credits, if you ever made it to the credits, did you ever make it to the credits?
No,
never made it there.
I didn't beat that game.
No, I didn't either. They didn't get to put their names in there. So they had to pseudonyms. And so... Yeah, those first three feel somewhat like I always lump them together. Those that trilogy, but then once it gets to the SNES and stuff, it branches out in all kinds of different directions. Everybody starts getting their own take on it, and it.
By the way, this is him. This is him. Some ancient photo. It's like one of the only photos that exist of this dude.
Is it the Bigfoot picture? Oh yeah. No,
that's super.
No,
big
that's pit. Not. Is it right?
That's totally him, and there are no others I can find. That's it.
Right. That is like the potato quality, the most potato quality I've ever seen of any picture ever.
Oh, it's horrendous.
That was bad.
Here's I do have one. I think it was taken the same day. So still, I think it counts as weird that this is all that exists. But nobody really knows what happened, do we? We don't know what happened to him. Now,
I know what happened. We're talking about, and I've been I've mentioned a couple of times in the show, I've been reading a book where it's just nothing but interviews with all these Japanese developers who were going through during this period of time. And it was just a grind, and it was just, especially someplace like Konami. I mean, there was such pressure, and competition, but not necessarily in a good way.
Think he was
maybe
just
the
pooped?
Output,
was,
output
just,
was good.
Was he just pooped? He's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's like, I'm out of here, man. If I was him, I would probably say, forget it. Maybe he's in a cave somewhere. Maybe he's in Dracula's castle that disappeared.
If he's still around, I wonder if that dude's flipped on the Japanese version of Netflix and gone, oh my hell, there's a whole TV show about my
From 2017, right? It's not still current though,
it's
right?
Still going. It's still going. They got another season. Okay. Going. Yeah. It's great. Oh, it's awesome.
Is it great? Is it awesome?
Yes. Have you not
visually
seen it?
Oh, I've seen the first season, and I started on the second season. It's
great, dude.
I'm
what do you not like
this.
About it? What do you not like?
It's a bit much.
What do you mean a bit much? What do you mean much of what? It's like a bunch of cool gothic fighting and vampires.
Yes, it is, but it always feels like it's the same much, if that makes sense. I mean, I've zoned out a couple of times. I'm like,
well, I mean, it's an anime. It's like it's meant to be fairly linear and simple, but I don't know. I think the voice acting's great. I think the animation's incredible. I think it's really cool.
The quality is absolutely there. There's just something not likable about it that I don't know what it is.
Fair enough.
But that's just taste, man. If you like it, oh, by all means, enjoy it enjoy it with both hands.
Here's an important note about this. That show, if you didn't know this, is based on Castlevania 3, Dracula's Curse. It is not based on the other game. So Alucard,
boo.
Dracula backwards, all those characters, they are all pulled from 3, which is interesting because 3 just never gets talked about. I feel like 3 is the dirty redhead stepchild that no one wants to talk about that game. But
it's kind of, I think 3 is serviceable. I think it's it's certainly not a standout, but it's, I think it's serviceable. I think it does all right. I enjoyed playing what I did of that one.
Yeah.
It's fine. I do think that I think it would have kind of, if it had kept going within where it was kind of at, I think it would probably have petered out. I think it really needed a hot take, a new take for a Super Castlevania 4 and moving forward. I think
good news. Super Castlevania 4 got made, and it was just a remake of 1.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine. Right. I played a bunch of that this week. It's fine. I think I'd have been really excited then had I been paying attention to it and cared that much in 91.
What'd you think about the Mode 7 in that?
Did
you dig the
fine.
Mode 7?
Yeah. I'm a sucker for that. It was an early game for the NES, or SNES rather. So, you know, it wasn't too sparkly, but they were definitely trying to show off the stuff they did know, and Mode 7 was all the rage.
Yeah.
So, Castlevania 4 is
fine. I'm with you, though. It definitely felt like I was just replaying something that looked prettier, but, you know, that's what they did with Castlevania a whole bunch of times.
Yeah.
Through the next 10 years that we're going to talk about, it's a lot of remakes and ports.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, we mostly only had experience. I read a bunch of stuff about the other, the other things in other countries, like Haunted Castle, the arcade game. I never even seen that anywhere. There's Vampire Killer, which is eventually what they called the Whip in this series, mm-hmm. That came out for the MSX2 in Europe.
Yep.
And it was basically the original Castlevania. Yep. I learned all kinds of stuff, and I'm like, I never really experienced. I take that back. I fired it up. This morning in my retro arch just to see if I was missing anything. And I got to say, it doesn't have the scrolling like the NES does and how, you know, how it renders. And, you know, you can kind of just scroll through. Yeah. It has, a screen to screen effect to it.
Yeah.
I actually kind of enjoyed.
Well, you like that, do you?
Yeah. I actually kind of enjoyed the pace of it. It felt... It was like a palate cleanser every time the screen would flip and I would be like, okay, now I can see what's in front of me and let's tackle this screen and then I tackle the next screen. Whereas the other felt like something was always coming at me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so let's talk real quick about Aria of Sorrow. It wasn't the only GBA game, but it's one I wanted to at least mention here. Here's a little bit of sound from it. So you get your epic GBA, whatever. Here's some actual gameplay. Get that old theme going. Now, I really like this game. I thought the sound effects were meaty. The pace was better. The guy actually moves. He's not walking everywhere. He's got some speed to him. I say him. I forget the name of the damn character. That's how I'd love Aria of Sorrow, but I don't remember shit about the story.
Is it Aria?
I know it's Aria of Sorrow. That's for sure. But his name is not.
Is
Aria.
It Richter?
It's not Richter. It's Soma. Soma. Yeah.
Is it Soma?
Chat says Soma. Yeah. Guy's name is Soma.
Yeah.
He's cool. Oh, yeah, there he is. He's cool. He's got a big long overcoat on, so he's kind of got 90s badass happening. It's set in the future, so it's like old and new at the same time. I think it looks good,
and it is post Symphony of the Night.
Yes, so a lot of the ideas here are taken right out of Symphony of the Night for sure.
Right,
we're
not doing as much as that old school Hammer films and stuff. We're actually in our new art. We got some new illustrations, got little anime cuts and stuff that make it look a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure. And it's got I don't know what it is. This one's just got style I like. And it's the one I would play right now if I was playing one. The problem with this deep dive is what it really did was pushed me in the direction of a whole bunch of really good quality Castlevania likes that exist today that are relatively new. I'll recommend those today. We'll get to that in a second because I got a whole list, but
we haven't got to Symphony of the Night yet.
No, hell no. So before we do that, though, Rondo of Blood, that's the game that was on the PC Engine / TurboGrafx thing. And it also appeared somewhere else. I forget where. Somewhere else. Anyway, the point of it is that thing.
Well, I know that Castlevania Dracula X is essentially a port, and it was the other game that came out on the SNES.
Correct. Then later on PSP, Rondo of Blood came out.
Right.
But they 3D-ified it. Okay. So it's no longer old school like pixels. It's a 3D game.
No thanks.
And it's actually okay. I played a bunch of it. Here's some bad dialogue from it, though. Do you want to hear that?
Do it.
It's not as bad as Symphony of the Night's dialogue, as much as we all love that game. There is some shit talking in that thing. But anyway, here it is. Yeah, Rondo of Blood, some sweet interaction between some characters.
How lovely. A fitting girl for Count Dracula. Now, come to me.
No, will never submit to your master. I'd sooner die here.
Okay.
So much the better. Besides, once you marry my lord, death will lose all meaning for you.
Richter.
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 Hold a moment, Shaft.
Of course, master.
Hold my shaft.
What brings you here? Oh, yeah.
That young lady has a certain connection with my old foes, the Belmonts. Bring her alive. I have a most amusing idea.
Yeah.
By your command. The master bids you sleep, girl. We must prepare a proper welcome, Belmont.
Belmont.
Belmont. If you didn't know your name was Belmont.
Belmont.
If anyway. You really want to get in some, if you want to really get into some lore, you can really dig into that part of the story. Ugh. Well, yeah. It gets twisty and turny. By the way,
very.
Yeah, I'm
dumb.
Glad to see they were still still delivering the wall meats as a way to improve and to restore your health.
Oh hell
even
yeah!
Even all the way down to this one, yeah.
Hell yeah! What? Listen, when you're making a video game and you're like, you know what, we need to have health options for this poor player who's been getting his ass kicked. What do we do?
Right.
I know. We put a freaking cooked turkey inside the wall.
Yeah,
on a tray.
Turkey.
Yeah, hidden turkey
right.
With like vegetables and stuff around it, and then they'll eat that and then they'll feel better. I love video game stuff like that. It's so dumb. Yeah.
This is a stupid gripe. This is so stupid. I hate when the Belmontes get outside of the castle.
Oh,
I don't want to be in the courtyard. I don't want to be out in the forest.
You know what? Okay. You know what? This is funny you say this. This is a complaint I've had about MMOs for a long time. When I play World of Warcraft, I don't like that dungeons are outside ever. They need to always be in a dungeon, damn it. They don't need to be out on some terrace or on a mountainside or any of that bullshit. Now, I know that brings variety to the game, but in my head, this stuff is only cool if I'm in a dark, dank, horrible place.
Right.
I agree with you.
Dracula shows up with his, his cursed castle. That's the whole rub, right? Is Dracula's demon cursed castle of the occult. And I want to be in the castle, man.
Yeah, I want to be
put
in the castle,
put me in my
man.
Castlevania.
Exactly. So I'm going to just go ahead and say, having played a bit of this PSP game, Rondo of Blood, it's pretty good.
Now, that didn't come out until 2010, though, right?
No,
it was much later.
PSP, no. They would have been.
Oh, really? I thought it was much later for the PSP.
Hold on,
it came out in '93 on the TurboGrafx, I believe.
Of Blood, PSP.
Of Blood.
Let me look up the release date because you might be right on this, and I've just forgotten.
I could be wrong.
07. 06 in Japan.
07. Okay.
07 here.
All right. So it was good while after. That's
that's a long time after. And I remember this coming out and going, ooh, should I grab this? This seems all right. And then I never did. Having played a bit of it lately, I think they did a pretty good job of making this 2.5D thing and making it work. It's also a prequel. Not prequel, right? No, yeah, prequel to Symphony of the Night. So it's connected story-wise, like directly.
Right.
And that's cool too, I guess, if these stories were any good.
These stories were—they're
not very good. I mean, I'm not gonna—I don't want to besmirch at all because it's pulpy or whatever. But it's not great.
I think it needs a big giant rewrite. There's enough stuff there that I think if somebody could, there's enough characters and things that they could really bring it all together. Which they kind of do in the animated series. Mm-hmm. They do some of that, and then a little longer form storytelling. More focused. But yeah, it's a lots of times I'm just like, oh, do I really want to hear something else about, do I, Dracula backwards? That still blows my mind. I didn't even realize that until this past week. No one told me.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there looking at the name going, that looks like mixed up letters for Dracula. And I'm like, wait a minute. It's Dracula backwards.
I got it from the show
I'm
we talked
idiot.
About. That Netflix show is where I got it. I don't remember this
now,
lady ever.
Really?
Look at this lady fighting with doves. She fights with birds.
Oh, yes.
Her weapon is birds.
Wait a second. Is that a familiar or is that a sub-weapon?
That's her real weapon. That's her main weapon. Is throwing
that's her weapon.
Birds.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know her name.
I didn't get to play much of this one.
Yeah. I only, like I said, I barely cracked the surface.
What is wrong with her physics, though? What is wrong with her her 3D modeling. Look at her arms are so, she's such a rag doll. That's kind of odd.
It's a little weird,
her upper arms are too long. Her elbows are way
To make a game like this and have it be a remake of a previous game and
right.
and have it be all, I don't know, it's hard to make it all new again. Like I played a Mega Man game. We'll get to Mega Man at some point on this show.
Yes, not this week.
PlayStation version of Mega Man, or whatever the full title was. It was a remake of Mega Man 1 or 2 on the SNES, or 1 or 2X on the SNES. And it looks like shit. Just like total garbage. Plays the same. Just looks like ass, though. And I think maybe this suffers a little from that. I think it did a little better job because, you know.
Yeah, it's right on the. I wish it hadn't been the 2.5. I can deal with it.
I don't mind it. To me, it's like Metroid Dread. I'm totally fine with them trying to do something new,
right?
And have it still play like the old stuff. Yeah, now that we're good at 3D, that's a good point. Yeah, this would look a whole lot better. In fact, I'm of the opinion. I'll go ahead and put this out right now. If you know, we mentioned it's been 8-something years since they put out a game, a proper Castlevania game. And longer than that since 09, since 2D, since a two-dimensional game. So here's my thing, what they should do. Take a cue from your other half, from the Metroid half of your name, of your genre name, and do something like a brand new one, but Dread in terms of graphic fidelity and just a beautiful side-scrolling game, but make it a side-scrolling 2D game without a bunch of 3D gimmicks other than it's beautiful. That's the game I want to play right now. That would be amazing. Do that.
Give it to me.
Yeah.
Give it to me right now. I want it right now.
Or pixelated again, I don't care. But I want to play a proper,
What I don't want is you to recreate the Symphony of the Night. I don't want you to give me another one of those.
Would I play that again? I probably would, though, in that form.
Updated graphics? That's the thing. Konami hasn't been doing remasters or anything like that. They just keep doing re-releases.
They just roll their pachinko balls around in their pocket and be dicks.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
But like I said, that's all falling apart. That's all going to hell in a handbasket. So they're going to have to figure out something. But I tell you, I bought the Steam Advance, the Castlevania Advance Trilogy, which is the Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, and Aria of Sorrow, which you love. And I'll tell you, that is my favorite jam right now. And of all the ones that I played, is those three.
That's because Aria of Sorrow is awesome. The other two are okay. But that Aria of Sorrow game, that's worth the price of admission. That's worth the $19 by itself. It's so good.
I'm happy enough right now. That just came out in 21?
Yeah, just last year.
Yeah, just last year. So I'm good with that. But I'm kind of really finding a lot of great things on the Game Boy Advance that are being re-released. I didn't know how much I loved that console or handheld.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. I love that. My favorite console, handheld console of all time, was the SP. I freaking love that thing.
Yeah.
I got nothing bad to say about it. But yeah, I bought it too. I got it on the Switch, the collection. Plays great on there. No issues.
Did you listen to the soundtracks? Did you play them?
No, not real. I mean, they're okay. They're fine. It's all just anime
music. There's a couple of bangers.
Yeah, there's bangers. Yeah. Ooh, you know what I want is a hot dog, because isn't a banger a hot dog?
That sounds really good right now. Castlevanians and hot dogs.
Oh, look at this guy. He's got to run from this freaking bullshit guy. Look at this guy. Oh
he's half a bull.
Yep, he's some bad 3D era 07 looking garbage.
But. So Alucard is like half human. His cursed mother's blood in him, like, you know, Spock. He's like, I don't want to feel human emotions. And so his one rebellion is to take on the name of his dad backwards. I'm still hung up on that.
Yeah, no, I can't let it go either. I really like Alucard a lot as a character. He's the most fun of the whole pantheon. Oh, he's great.
He's so much fun because he doesn't have a whip, but he's got all these great. I mean, really getting to play him and upgrade your weapons and try all the different, you know, swords and knives he has is just so much freaking fun.
No, he's great. That guy rocks. Let's actually talk about it. Symphony of the Night. This is the one that, I don't know, probably solidified the series as one of the all-time great series of all time.
And, other than playing the first one, Symphony of the Night is the only one that before we started talking about this that I had any real time put into.
I had beaten that game. I've beaten that game way back in the day.
I never got that far, but it was definitely... I loved it. I love how it finally, their original aspirations was to make something, big and movie like. Mm-hmm. And Symphony of the Night felt like it felt so movie to me. Felt like, yeah.
It's really good. And there's also a bunch of places you can play it, including phones. For some reason, the mobile version.
Like an Nokia, you mean?
No, like modern smartphones is what I'm talking about.
Oh, so not like I had Snake and then I had Castlevania.
No, okay. You can still, okay. You can hang out and play. You can do it, but no controller. You can do it with the touchscreen.
Right.
That's it. That kind of sucks. I don't love that. Although maybe they'll patch it. I don't know. But anyway, the point is this game's playable still on lots of platforms. You can buy, I think Xbox, not Game Pass, but their store has like a compatible version on there even. Right. I'm not sure. PC has a version of this game. Anyway, here's a little bit of sound from it. It has some of the worst dialogue in the history of video games. This is what we did in the 90s. It's garbage. Listen and enjoy.
Die, monster. You don't belong in this world.
It was not by my hand that I'm once again given flesh. I was called here by humans who wish to pay me tribute.
Tribute? You steal men's souls and make them your slaves.
Perhaps the same could be said of all religions.
Your words are as empty as your soul. Mankind ill needs a savior such as you.
What is a man? A miserable little pile of secrets. But enough talk. How about you?
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah, and then you start your Castlevania fight the bad guy up front with all your powers, and then you get stripped of them.
Very Metroidvania, very Metroid, very Vania. They all do it.
Right.
Even some modern games that take a lot of inspiration from these games, they often start with a big nasty boss fight you can't win.
Yeah.
Or even if you can win, they strip you of all your shit and you got to start over.
Right. You win, but he just disappears for a minute. Which one is the one? Is it three where you're collecting? Dracula's body parts. Is that right?
Yeah. You get his leg, and then I don't remember. I can't remember
this. One of them, it starts off. It's like you destroy him at the end of one, and then I think you do that in Simon's Quest. Anyway, it's not important. I was just thinking about that because this time you destroy him, and he just kind of disappears, right?
Yeah, I believe that is correct. Simon's Quest sounds like a board game you'd buy when you were a kid, doesn't it? Doesn't it?
Probably. It should be.
I mean, I know there's Simon Says.
That is such a title that you would have during the 80s. That is a spot on.
Yeah. Noticeable thing here I'm noticing is that I'd forgotten how 4x3 shit was back then, whereas the PSP game, Rondo of Blood, is, full widescreen. And I don't know. I like the PSP. I've gained, I know I said this last week, I'll say it again. I have gained a new, fresh appreciation for the PSP in the last couple of weeks.
It was a good console. And if you can get a Vita, or if you have a Vita, it's a great retro console. By the way, I am watching my man moonwalk right now in Symphony of the Night. Some of the animations, some of the sprite animations in that game are just...
Oh, they're great. Some are terrible, though. I think the moonwalk move, the slide thing he does, while makes you faster and really hurries up the game, I think it looks like shit.
But makes me feel...
Yeah,
like
it looks like bunny hopping.
Half vampire.
Yeah, but it's bunny hopping in a shooter or something. It's just like annoying to me. Or like when they, when you play Fortnite and they're constantly changing weapons on their back. It's that.
Right.
It's just annoying. Look at it.
I love that they've constantly found new ways to slowly take him back up to where he was at when you started. Like, okay, I got this other new power. Now I'm using this Genki power.
Yeah, that stuff's fine. But that Scooch thing, I mean, if you ever watch a proper speed run of this game, which I did also last week.
Oh, did you? Okay.
It's like 45 minutes or something. I can't remember what the record is.
Nice.
Yeah. That's how you do it, is you get around with that Scooch thing.
I can't even get through the intro in 45 minutes. Good Lord.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Okay. That really was the worst dialogue of all time. Moving on,
I don't know if it was the worst dialogue, but it was certainly it had the least amount of emotion of anything I've ever heard read. Probably because they were reading it while they're sitting on the toilet.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Now, there are two dialogue. Of these games. There's three of these games, I should say, in the series that I never liked. And I'll tell you what those are. The Legacy of Darkness N64 game I thought was poop. That was not a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first time we tried to do 3D, right?
Yeah. Not a good game at all. Yeah. Do not recommend it.
Would you say Legacy of Darkness? Which one did you say?
Sorry, is it just... It's not just Castlevania
was
64.
The first one they released.
I think that's the one. They came out the same year, though, right? Those two games?
Yeah, yeah. Legacy of Darkness was a port of another one. What was it? I'm trying to remember. But anyway, it was not a good time for the Castlevania series on the N64.
Yeah, did not enjoy those games, or at least the first one. I didn't play the second one. I learned my lesson from the first one. I was like, nope. The other ones I don't like. I don't like Kid Dracula on the Game Boy.
What?
Dumb game.
You didn't like the Kid Dracula? You didn't like Dracula's other son?
No.
Whose name is not Dracula in reverse?
No. Do you like Bowser Jr. more than Bowser? The answer,
I like
Jr.'s
the
right.
fact that the Dracula made it with a chibi of some sort.
Yeah.
And then out popped Kid Dracula. Yeah, I do like that.
Big fat head Dracula kid. You're not wrong.
Right. I did like
sure.
that.
Okay, I'll give you that. The other one I did not like at all was this weird mobile game that's actually kind of current now. I don't like it. It tries to be one of those mobile games where there's a million currencies and it's just too much. I don't like it.
Yeah, so there's that. Currencies. Oh my God.
I know.
Are they all hearts? What do they? How they ruined that for me?
Oh, there's so much. You have to go look at it. All kinds of crystals, and they even have so Apple Arcade has a version of it that took all of the monetization out of it, like all the free to play stuff. But the game's still structured around this like mobile game collected all. I don't know. It's just not good. I don't like it.
Right.
Not a fan.
Being a retro gamer, I don't like to see beloved franchises make it to the mobile devices. I know you're a big mobile. I know you like phone stuff.
Yeah, I like it here and there. I don't love it all. I like a good port or an original game on there, but this is not where they try to include a bunch of mechanics that are kind of like mobile games, like just throw away mobile games. That's stupid.
Is there? Oh, let's ask this: is there any point in time that you have to touch the phone screen?
Yes, because the controller support is. Oh no, it does support controller. I'm sorry, it does.
Oh, does it support controller? Okay,
yeah. And I played it with my backbone.
Could suffer through.
Yeah, I played it with my backbone. Backbone works really well. Okay, with it, so it's not a problem. That backbone's been a great investment. I love that thing.
It has been a good investment. Yeah. It sounds good. I can't even find my Kishi. Which is the NVIDIA version of that, right?
Well, I have a Kishi. Oh, sorry, my daughter scared me. She's over there in the corner with a flashlight. What are you doing?
Oh, I like it. That's she's like, I'm scared.
You're looking for a power
cord? Someone in the house.
I don't have any extras. I wish I did.
I think Dracula's in the house, Father.
Yeah, the Dracula's looking for cords. Freaking me out. Anyway, the point was,
the backbone Kishis.
Yeah, I have a Kishi. I have an extra Kishi. Some
other phone.
We should give it away on the show. We'll find somebody who has an Android phone and we'll give them their Android Kishi.
Yeah, I think I had the Android version as well. Mm. I don't have an Android phone anymore, so
yeah, which is probably why you lost your damn thing. Probably. Okay, what else? Let's move on to this. I'm going to tell you some games that you should play if you like these games, but you don't want to go play the old ones. You want something new-ish. Here's my list of definitive new-ish Castlevania-like games. All right? Number one. My number one recommendation is Blasphemous. You've played this.
Oh, I love... Now, this I agree with because it's that dark tone. It's way darker. I mean, we got a lot of... Catholicism in our Castlevania, but man, Blasphemy, woo, it's all about the suffering and the pain, and there's a lot of dungeons and underground stuff, very dark.
Really
man,
this animated. I love this game. I'm playing it again now. I think I'm more serious about getting further because it's a little hard. It's got some Souls-like elements in the middle of fights and boss fights. It's two-dimensional. All pixel graphics, stuff like that. It looks amazing, but it's meant to be old school, and it's old school hard. Real good, though. And the tone and everything, it's like Diablo and like just dark fantasy. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway,
so delicious.
That's a cool game.
Look at that stupid Castlevania map. Gross.
Oh, I know.
Metroidvania map.
They're in all of them. They all do them now. That's
just the rule. They all do them.
That's the standard, man. You gotta work the standard.
What am I living in a spreadsheet? Look at this stupid map.
Right? Exactly. But and that's the other thing. This thing will spoil you. It spoiled me because when you play the old Castlevania games, there's not a lot of frames of animation. And there's a lot of glitch and, whatever. this modern stuff, like Blasphemous, silky smooth, beautifully running game. I just love it. Anyway, I'm going to play more of this later because I'm actually really excited to keep going. And you keep talking to these weird NPCs, like a guy with three eyeballs, and he'll be going, "My son, forward is the only way to find your soul." And like just a lot of bullshit. It's so good. I love it. Anyway, Blasphemous. Get it on Switch, PC, Xbox, PlayStation. It's everywhere.
It's always on sale. It's a great game.
It's just
game.
A really great game. And they just put out some free DLC for it as well, yeah. Which is nice. All right, another one that just came out.
Oh,
It's a little game called Itora, I think is how it is, or Itora. I'm not sure which way you say it. I'll show a little video here as well. This is brand new. This is a girl, kind of a Mesoamerican style vibe to the place, to the game. It's absolutely one of these. It's a Metroidvania game with beautiful 2D animation, just gorgeous. Very traditional in some ways, but modern in others in terms of the look of the thing.
Yeah, a lot of platforming currently, but
there's a bunch of platforming, sure. But all these games always have that stuff.
Yeah, is what I prefer.
And you have an axe that talks to you. He's sentient, and the axe is like, "We need to go do this shit," and you're like, "Okay, let's go." Lots of hard battles and fights and boss fights and junk like that. Upgrades up the wazoo. You know, sparing save points. Beautifully rendered, although it's all like 2D art rendered. So it's not like, you know, Will-O-the-Wisps or something, but it reminds me of how pretty that game is, even though it's not true 3D. It's very, very pretty and sounds great, looks great. Small team made it. They just put this out this week. So this just hit. I played like 3 hours of this already and I love it. Now, I will warn you that if you're like, I want my games to be knuckles, nails hard, then play Blasphemous. If you like them a little more forgiving, not much, but a little, it's still tricky, but fair, then this is your game. This would be the game to play.
Right. What would make this harder is if it was, if the enemies kept respawning. I'm seeing you kill enemies and they're just disappearing.
Yeah, they go away, which is nice. Yeah. Although I don't know if you die and come back, I think the enemies might respawn, but it's pretty generous compared to most of these games with its save points. It's just beautiful. And, you know, unlocking abilities and new ways to use your axe are really cool. I'm not dying a ton.
And she's like axing right now. She's axing these flying face mask a question, right? Is that what's going on?
She's axing them a question. And the question is, do you want to die right now? And the answer is yes, always. Yeah. Anyway, real pretty, real cool. Can't say enough about this. Again, it's called, where is it? Itora.
Might want to spell it. Now she's, are those cats? What are those that she's swiping? They're flying something. I can't tell if they're flying.
Well, I don't know what they are. They're kind of half animal, half cats. Bugs. They're weird.
Okay. And I like it though. I love the style.
They have a mother creature. You got to kill her before she poops out more of them. And
I'm not sure if there's different biomes or if it kind of, if it changes, but they're all right now. We're seeing a lot of, you know, rainforest kind of nice little. Oh, yeah. Look at the Aztec stuff. That is nice.
Very Aztec-y. Later on. Oh, she's about to get a good ability to let her bust through that.
She's going
to
get into some lava, maybe.
Yeah, there's lava. Sand. There's like sand stuff. There's, you know, there's a bunch of biomes.
Yeah.
Very cool so far. Very small team. Totally worth your money. Check it out. I got it on Steam. I think that might be the only place you can get it right now is Steam. Small team. They're not huge or anything. But I'm blown away by it. I think it's absolutely beautiful and a pleasure to play. The rest of these I'll kind of hurry through. Infernax.
Mm-hmm. Never
I don't know how you say it. This is a game that is on Game Pass right now currently. It's also on other platforms. This is a game where the team says they were directly inspired by Simon's Quest.
That interface, man. Yeah. You look at the...
His posture. Look at him. Like he's a little hunched over dude.
Yeah, Simon always crouched over. I actually read some interviews about why the director made him like that. Mm-hmm. He was like, because he looks like he's about to pounce.
Yeah.
That's why he crouches.
Kind of what
like
they
that.
Got going here. He's got a shield right away, so it's a little bit different, but there's a lot of...
Oh, I love shields in Castlevania. Sorry, go ahead.
This is also really bloody, super bloody, which, you know, 8-bit blood, whatever. You know, your mileage may vary, but it's zombies. Really fun. I like it. I've been playing it on Xbox and PC. It's got cloud saves, works great on xCloud as well, and
Oh, it's screen to screen, no scrolling. Oh, well, now they're scrolling. Well, they're so they scrolling. Got both.
Yeah, they got both. It's just it's a lot like those original games. You'd swear if somebody told you, "Hey, this game was made in 86," you'd believe them. Like right. The music, the sound, the look of it, yeah. It's all very 8-bit.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's that. I think you'd like it. I like it. It's on Game Pass. So it you looks have no good. Point not to try it. Yeah. And Skull, Dead Cells, these are good roguelikes that are basically structured like a Castlevania game.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. Yeah. I really like a game called Monster Sanctuary, which is Metroid.
We love that game, don't we?
Yeah, we do. It's game. Like a mix between Metroidvania and like turn-based Pokemon fights. So you're collecting a bunch of creatures, they fight for you, that sort of thing. It's very
well the art style of that.
Look at this Monster Sanctuary. Camera in a second. You're about to see this like really bloody moment. It's awesome. You see it?
Oh man. Wow. Okay. Yeah, that was intense.
That was Infernax still.
Yeah, that was Infernax. That was the last one we talked about. Infernax.
Yeah. It's very good and available and cheap. Okay. The other one is Guacamelee 1 and 2. I played and played both those games. Loved them. I didn't beat 1, but I beat 2. And I think those are exceptionally well made. I just jammed the mic into my face.
What you did? That's like you just like just.
That sucked. They're basically fun, cartoony, ridiculous takes, Mexican wrestler folklore takes on the formula, and they're very good. Hollow Knight, awesome. Everyone loves Hollow Knight. I kind of like it. I think that game's too hard for its own good, but whatever. Hollow Knight is on there.
I can't say anything bad about Hollow Knight. I love the crap out of that game. Yeah. I went back and played through it a couple of times. It's good.
Great game. Ori and the Will of the Wisps is fantastic. SteamWorld Dig 2, I would also highly recommend. There are many more than this, so this is no definitive list.
Don't forget
list.
About Bloodstained, which is directly related to Castlevania. There,
well, right? It's related in that the guy who was team director on... Symphony of the Night did the game, so that's your connection there. But yeah, other than that, it's not connected to the lore or anything. But it plays, you know, like a nice 2.5D looking deal. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a big Kickstarter success. It was a cool game.
Yes, it was.
Have not played it myself, but I own it, so I probably should play that. But again, not a definitive list. There's a million more of these. These are just the ones that I really like.
There's a reason why. Yeah, there's a whole genre called Metroidvania, and you're going to find tons of them, and some of them do it very well.
Yeah, these are all more Vania than Metroid, which is why I picked these, but certainly a lot of the stuff we talked about last week could work. And as Brian mentioned, you can play the Steam Collection, or excuse me, the Steam Castlevania Advance Collection. That's also on Switch and consoles. Mm-hmm. It's weird seeing that collection on a Microsoft console. It's just weird.
Right.
But there it is. Game Boy Advance games and Dracula X is what those are. You can emulate them if you want to. NES Mini, SNES Mini, those both have their respective main titles on there. And I don't think all three are on the NES Mini, though, right? I think it's just one.
I have to go back and look. I meant to look.
Yeah. I don't think it's all three, but it could be. Anyway, Nintendo Online, I don't think they've got one.
I thought they did. At least they have Castlevania last time I looked. Nintendo Online, I think so. At least the first one. Maybe I could be wrong.
I will confirm this. I'm pretty sure there's no Konami third party in there.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I'm not.
Look at that snub. Anniversary collection. No play online access. You might be right. You might be right. I'll tell you what, though, while you're looking for that, I will tell you what doesn't have Symphony of the Night, and that's that PlayStation Mini that I got suckered into purchasing.
Yeah.
I wanted it. Why is that not on there? That would have made the whole thing worth it.
Because I don't think Konami plays ball. I think that's what that is. I think they want to do stuff their
pachinko.
Own way. Yeah, they play pachinko. They play with little metal balls. That's how they play ball. So I confirmed it is not currently a game you can play on.
Okay, well, good. And PlayStation's got some collections, a few collections, I believe, as well.
Does the Genesis Mini have Bloodlines on it?
I believe it does. Let me confirm that. I after you call me out on the other one, I don't know.
I don't know.
My whole life is a lie. My name is Dracula backwards. Don't know anything.
Castlevania. Let's just see real quick.
I would think so, because Konami's kind of separated itself from Bloodlines. It's kind of like, they don't want to really... They haven't re-released it. They haven't done
Yeah, it's on there. Bloodline's on there.
Yeah, I think they kind of abandoned. I think they considered that more Sega's than their own, I believe.
I think they all think it's just like an abandonware thing for them.
Yeah.
They're wrong. It's good.
That's a good one. I liked it. Yeah. I really did. Like I said, that was the first one. No Belmonts. Now, I think you're supposed to be Belmont adjacent or something. One of them's lore is he's like a cousin. I don't remember. It was something weird.
Something dumb like that. Yes.
Which makes sense. It's his bloodline, right?
Yeah. It's his bloodline. Uh-huh. It's where it's the line in which his blood moves.
Yeah.
All right. Well done. Let's see. What else? What else we got? Yeah, those are all the places you can play it, all right? And I would really highly recommend those other games. I think these games are great. To sum it up, there's nothing wrong with Castlevania.
There's nothing wrong with Castlevania. We just covered the ones that were in our field, which is the, you know, the retro field. Mm-hmm. So there's so many more. I'm sure we didn't name somebody's favorite. I'm sure somebody's going to be upset that we got something wrong. And that's fine, because you know what? This show is like Dracula Backwards.
Yeah, it's like Dracula Backwards. A la carte. Send us your alacard.com@gmail.com. No, it's what is our address? It is playretroshow@gmail.com. I wish we had alacard@gmail.com. That'd be awesome.
Let's check it. Let's see if we can get it.
I don't think we have it, but we can look.
Nope.
All right, Brian, I'm going to say it's time to do this right here.
Destroy it.
Time to play Guess My Game. Yeah, that's right. We play a clip, and then we try to guess what it is. And I'll start this time with something that I really like. And I don't know if you ever played it, but enough people recommended it that I gave it a shot this week, and now I see why they love it. It's awesome.
Okay.
The year is 1993. 1993.
93, Brian. 93.
All right, here we go.
How jovial.
Very jovial. I'll give you a hint as to the device in a second. Okay. Any guesses?
No, I thought I had something for a second, but wow, I don't know. What year was it again?
This is 1993. I will tell you it was on the Game Boy Color.
Ah, Game Boy Color, my weakness.
Well, I think they made a Game Boy black and white version of it too, but yeah.
All right. It sounds like a Slumberland kind of thing. It's like they're going for some slumbering.
Yeah, is it
a slumberish game?
Nope. I don't know what that means. Slumberish.
Nemo and Slumberland. You know what I'm talking about?
No, definitely not that.
Okay. All right.
Nemo.
Not the fish. Not Finding Nemo.
Yeah, not that Nemo.
Old school.
Old Nemo.
Nemo.
Yeah, Nemo the not fish.
Drives a bed at night. You've seen him.
Yeah, that guy. But that's not it. Not even close.
Not even close.
Do you give up? I'll give you a genre. I'll give you a genre.
Okay.
It's a take on pinball.
Oh, it's a take on pinball. Interesting. Okay. 93, Game Boy Color, mm-hmm. take on pinball. Mm-hmm. Kirby's a ball. Is it a Kirby game?
I'm going to say that you get points for that. It is a Kirby game. It is Kirby Pinball Land for the Game Boy Color.
Wow.
And it's great. It's so good. Like
I knew Kirby was on your mind too. That was one.
It is, but I never played this back in the day. And when someone suggested it the other day, I'm like, whatever. This is going to be dumb. This might be my favorite pinball game of all video game time. In fact, I want an updated version of this damn thing because this deserves it. This deserves something on the Switch, or even if you just made like a 16-bit pass on it or something, it deserves it. It's rad. Like everyone always says, oh, Sonic Spinball, that's the only good video game pinball game made in the 16-bit or 8-bit era. I don't know anymore. I think this might take over that spot for me. It's good. Real good.
It's good. It's real good.
It's real good.
I need a real Game Boy.
Good luck to you. They have, I mean, you can get, eBay will have something once in a while. It's just kind of hard to find them.
Right.
Yeah. But look, you got one. It's got four slots in it and a weird controller. You're good. I guess that's an advance. It doesn't play. Will it play Game Boy games? Maybe it will.
It's advanced. It only if I had like some kind of converter, right?
Well, back in the day, remember these used to just fit in there,
right?
They were just longer. That slot. What am I thinking of?
Maybe.
Didn't the GBA have an ability to plug into a GBA or sorry, GB games into a GBA? But it was just naturally just like a longer version.
Was
of
it
the
natural?
Port?
I might have. No, yeah.
Yeah, I know it did because it just stuck
the
out.
The parts were shorter, but they were the same width, right?
Well, they were longer actually. So I had this is totally this. I had my SP, and I used to like Mario Golf for the Game Boy Color more than I liked even the new Mario Golf. So I was like, I'm going to take this with me. And I remember it kind of sucked because it sticks out. It goes right in, but it poops out the back end and hangs there.
That's right.
So maybe yours does is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, it might. It's not listed on the box, but let's try it. I'll risk it just like I did when I didn't research anything on my Wii to see if I could put GameCube games in it. I just stuck it in and prayed.
Yeah, please do that again.
Please don't eat
Pray
it.
To the game lords. Do it.
Yes.
All right, here's your file. It's 92, so a year before mine.
92, and someone sent me this as a suggestion for you to listen. And why can't I find their Twitter name? I can't find it now. But anyway, yes, this was recommended by a listener.
Very nice. Here it is.
It's not Castlevania.
Genesis, gotta be Genesis.
Mm-hmm. Genesis, 1992.
You can always tell because it sounds so effed. Why is this familiar to me?
No surprise, it's survival horror.
It's a horror game.
Horror.
Survival horror? What would that be in the old 2D world? I gotta hear that laugh again. Hold on.
Help me!
Alright, where's the laugh?
There's a bit of a beat 'em up.
The one with the mask on. He's got a mask on.
What's his name?
He looked like Freddy, but he's not Freddy. Or Jason, I mean, not Freddy.
Jason. Yeah, Jason.
I don't remember the name of the damn thing. Isn't this like a sequel to some TurboGrafx game?
Yeah, this is Splatterhouse 2.
Splatterhouse! That's it! Because Splatterhouse 1 was a PC Engine slash, the other people. That.
Right.
Okay, that's what it is. Splatterhouse. Gosh, dang it.
Splatterhouse.
Help me.
Help me.
It was kind of a
I actually chose some audio from later in the game. I'm like, that's a little too generic. I said, let me just go straight up top. Let's see if Scott can guess it.
Yeah, well, I came close. I just could not remember the name of the stupid thing. We got close, everybody, but... None's the wiser. I don't know what that means.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Look at this. It's time for us to read an email. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is where that happens. And we got one here from Tandy255.
Oh, Tandy.
Yeah.
The computer?
I think he's an actual Tandy computer. He says, Metroid thoughts.
Tandy AI.
Yeah, Tandy AI. He says, I do appreciate that you guys are doing a ton of research. And I don't expect you to know everything. But just a few comments. Yoshi's Woolly World is not on Switch yet. You are thinking of Yoshi's Crafted World, a new game in the series. Woolly World is considered to be the better of the two, and fans are waiting for it to be ported to the Wii U. That would be great. I'd like that.
It looks yarned, right?
Yeah, it looks yarny.
It looks yarny.
Yeah, it's yarny. It's definitely yarny. Jim Varney.
Good call out, though. Good. Thank you for correcting us.
He says AM2R is a remake of the Game Boy Advance game, another Metroid 2 remake. It updates the Game Boy game in the same way the NES game was updated with Zero Mission as an unofficial remake Nintendo had to do the cease and desist for.
Yeah, they did. They had to call that, right? I didn't know it was a... I guess that makes sense. It was a remake. I guess that makes sense.
Did they have to, though? Couldn't they have let that go? Those guys.
Well, they watched him develop it, and they waited until he released it, and they're like, no.
I think Nintendo's too litigious.
Good call, Tandy.
It says, on a side note, Nintendo's own remake, Samus Returns, has some of the best 3D visuals that I've ever seen on the 3DS. It also introduces the melee counterattack, a mechanic that was retained from or in Dread. This does change the mechanics and flow of the 2D games, like or many like it, but some prefer the more tactical mechanics or traditional mechanics. Can't traditional? Read. Thanks, right. Says Tandy 255. Well, he knew stuff about Metroid. Look at him.
Yeah. Look. I'm going to tell you right now, we spent a week on Metroid learning everything I could, and I'm just full of Metroid knowledge now. Yeah. Except I'm not. Yeah. And these people who are big into Metroid, thank you guys for tolerating my less than complete knowledge of that. I appreciate you, because I know how it is when you love something. When you love something that much, you know.
You just want to hug it and hold it.
You just want to hug it, and it's like whenever somebody gets it wrong, it's like you... blasphemer. But I always love it. So yeah, anytime we get something wrong, or if you have some added information because it's the thing that you love, let us know. Like, I know somebody called out in our email that Scott was talking, it was either email or Twitter, Scott was talking dirty about Captain N. Well, that wasn't the right call, Scott.
No, I stand with it. Him and Pepsi Man can go on vacation and never see me again. It's fine.
I like Captain N.
It's fine. We'll get to Captain N at some other point, because I do want to do a whole Nintendo thing where we talk about the TV stuff that came from it, or just video games in general, stuff. Like the Pac-Man one and the stupid Zelda cartoon that lasted 5 minutes.
The Zelda cartoon is almost good.
It's bad. It's bad.
It is really close to being almost good.
It's really bad. Yeah. But we'll talk about it. The other thing that remains, Tandy 255, is that Metroid Fusion is still the best Metroid game. Moving on.
I gotta play it.
You do need to play it. Why aren't you playing it? Play that game.
I guess I'll get to it in 20 years on Play Retro.
Our next game discussion is going to be next week, DuckTales from 1989.
Ooh.
And that came out for the NES and Game Boy, but we're going to talk a little bit more about how that Mega Man team from Capcom... would create a kind of a glorious, at least for the time, working relationship with Disney until they didn't.
But those are the games. Talk about all the Disney games, but it was pretty freaking amazing. The DuckTales game, much beloved.
Yeah, it was a good game. Turns out it was very good.
Yeah,
and we'll talk about that and some of the stuff it spawned, as well as probably, I don't know, Capcom had a real good record then for Disney adaptations. Yeah. And one of them was that. The other one was Mickey's Castle of Illusion, was it called? Whatever it was.
If that's not it, it's close.
Great game on the Genesis. They had all kinds of cool games. But we'll talk about that and mostly, DuckTales. So you 90s kids, get excited. We got you covered. Late 80s, early 90s kids, rejoice. DuckTales.
Woo-hoo.
Coming up. Woo-hoo. All right.
Woo-hoo.
Is that how the song goes? That's about right.
That's exactly how it goes. It's nothing but woohoos all the way through.
There you have it. That's going to do it for us. Patreon.com/playretro is where you can support your favorite retro podcast. That's Patreon, not PayPay. Patreon.com/playretro. It's a lot of P's in there. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com.
I'm going to start PayPay.com.
Yeah, PayPay.com. PayPayPalPal.com is the next thing we're going to do. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. It's also PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And you can find everything about the show over at frogpants.com/playretro. I think that's going to do it. Hey, Brian, you want to mention anything else before we go?
I play these games every weeknight, pretty much at 6 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch me play Castlevania poorly and try to figure it out in other games.
Chat room, we're also going to probably talk about that Chip and Dale game. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
it's pretty
good. We got to talk about Chip and Dale.
Yeah, that was another...
also, Chip and Dale. Woo!
Nice. Woo, Chip and Dale. What was their thing? What was their song?
We are the
Chip and Dales running up the street, doing all the stuff that the Chip and Dales do.
I can't freaking think of how it goes.
We are the Chip and Dales. We're not the strippers, but the cute little monkeys.
You're not helping.
I don't know what it is. They're not monkeys. What are they? They're chipmunks.
Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Chip and Dale. Okay, you're right. You got it. Let your childhood shine, everybody. That'll do it for us for this week. Between now and then and the next time we see you, go play something retro. I promise you'll be happy if you do. and we'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Enter stage one and battle across a bridge.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.